breaking bow.
Thank you.
invite you to rise as you're able for the confession of our sin and the confession of our faith. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us the knowledge of you with our ever will, and to your obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. For those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. Let's remain standing as we confess together our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. May be seated. Our Old Testament scripture reading this morning is from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Restore to your fortress, you prisoners. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, Zion, against your sons, Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword. Word of the Lord. We turn to the Lord in prayer. I've been asked if we would pray for Larray's nephew, Philip. He has a rare and very serious form of Crohn's disease and is receiving treatment at Mayo Clinic even now.
and we will pray for him. Also, a friend of mine from Williston, some of you have heard, has his fiance and her family in Ukraine, and is trying to get them out of that situation. And so we'll pray for Olga and her family and their safety, as well as others there in harm's way. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you that you are our Heavenly Father who gives good things to your children who ask. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to gather here to worship you, to sing your praises, and to remember, Lord, what you did for us so many years ago when you came to Jerusalem. You came as a king, but you came as one who conquered by surrendering himself. Lord, we pray for the concerns on our hearts today. Especially we pray for Philip, Lorraine's nephew, as he receives treatment. We pray, Lord, that the treatment would be effective, that his body would not reject it, and that you would restore health and wholeness to his body. Grant him and his family your peace and your comfort. And we pray you would grant his physicians and those giving care your guidance and wisdom. We pray, Lord, for Olga and her family, that they might leave Ukraine safely and quickly. We pray also for so many who are caught between, Lord, rounds of fire, caught in a situation of deprivation and danger, of uncertainty. Lord, we pray you would restore peace and order, a just peace to that country. We pray, Lord, you'd work through world leaders or whoever you choose, Lord, to bring this conflict to a quick end, and that you would help, Lord, so many who are suffering greatly. We pray, Lord, for our missionaries serving you in different corners of the globe. We pray for our missionaries in Chad and Taiwan and Japan and elsewhere, that you would protect them, that you would encourage them, and you would bear fruit for your kingdom through them. And Lord, for all of us who face our own struggles, Lord, as families travel and gather, we pray in these coming days, we pray for safety and travel, but we pray for your blessing and peace upon family gatherings. We pray for healing in relationships where there's been conflict and estrangement. We pray for comfort for those who face this holiday with the first time or second or more without a loved one. We pray, Lord, most of all, that people everywhere would hear the good news of the Savior Jesus, who came and defeated our worst enemy. And so, Lord, we pray all these things, trusting them in the name of Jesus our Lord, who taught us also to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Pastor Eric,
I invite all the kids to come up again and to sit down up here. Hey guys, good morning. This morning, on my way to church, I found something really cool. I found this awesome rock. I mean, this is unlike any other rock that I've ever seen. Do you guys want to see it? It's a really cool rock.
Yeah.
Look at this rock. Isn't that a...
egg.
What? It's a what?
It's an egg.
You're saying this isn't a rock?
It's an egg.
Oh, it's an egg. It's an Easter egg. That makes sense. What do you think is in this?
Candy.
Chocolate. Should we take a look? Should we see? All right, let's see. You ready? Oh. There's nothing in there. That's weird. We thought there'd be something in there, right? We thought it'd be candy or something, but it's empty. You didn't? Oh, you're ahead of me. This reminds me of a story in the Bible. Today, we're going to learn about how Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and the people were recognizing Jesus as their king, which is good and true because Jesus is our king. But then they ended up rejecting him. They ended up being really mean to Jesus. Really mean. They actually killed him. Do you know where they put Jesus' body after he died? Yeah, where?
On the cross.
Yeah, they put it on the cross, and after he came down from the cross, where did they put his body? Not the temple.
A tomb.
A tomb. Yeah, they put Jesus' body in a tomb. Do you know what a tomb is?
It's like a big cave.
Yeah, it's like a big cave. They took Jesus' body and they put it into this big cave. And then they rolled a big stone in front of it, right? Like a really big stone. Like a stone as big as your car. Do you think you could move a stone that big?
No.
No. So they put Jesus' body in there and they put this big stone in the way. And they expected Jesus' body to stay in there. But what happened on Easter morning? Yeah.
It
wasn't there, right? They opened up the tomb and it was empty,
maybe,
right?
The Easter bunny wanted to eat candy inside that.
Yeah. Jesus was our king. He is our king. And he came, and even though he was betrayed, even though he was killed, he didn't stay in that tomb. He rose from the dead, and on Easter morning, when they went down to the tomb was empty. And so today, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. Yeah, I know, you guys are pretty excited. We're going to have an Easter egg hunt after church today, and some of the eggs you find will be filled with candy, but some of them are going to be empty. Some of them are going to be empty. I know. But guess what? You're still going to get something. If you find an empty egg, come and see me or Joy, and we'll have a special treat for you, okay? There's not gold. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus to us, that you have provided our King. And we thank you so much that when they went to the tomb on the third day, Jesus' body wasn't in there, but he had risen from the dead. He had risen from the dead so that he could free us from our sin and bring us to you. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. And for this gospel, this good news that you have given to us, may you make us always to remember it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys, for coming up. Good morning, everyone. Man, it's a packed house today. Look at this. This is great. Our gospel text for this morning is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. And I invite you to please rise for the reading of God's word. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord,' peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. In this well-known text, our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. 10 chapters ago in Luke chapter 9, we're told that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, that he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And up until our text this morning, Luke has mentioned that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem 5 times. And now, on Palm Sunday, these references find their fulfillment as Jesus rides into Jerusalem for the last time. At our Wednesday night Lent Bible study this last week, Caleb mentioned that the parable right before this text provides important context. And it really does set the background not only for this text today, but also for all of Holy Week. It keys us into the significance of what Jesus is doing here, what is really going on. So beginning in verse 11, Jesus tells this parable of the 10 minas. Now, a mina, it was a Greek currency equivalent to about 100 days' pay. And in this parable, Jesus tells about a man of noble birth. And this man, he goes to a distant country to be made king. Before the man leaves, he gives his servants these 10 minas, and he tells them to put his money to work until he comes back. The soon-to-be king departs on his journey, but then something really unusual happens. The subjects of the kingdom that he was going to rule over, they send a delegation. They send a delegation to this guy's hometown, proclaiming that they don't want him to be their king. Well, despite their rejection, this man is appointed king. And when he returns to his home, he rewards those who put his money to good use, and he punishes those who refuse to accept him as their king. This parable sheds light on what's going on in our text today, and also what's going on in Holy Week. Because Holy Week also tells a story of a man of noble birth who travels to receive kingship and a kingdom. On Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem, and as he entered as its king. As Jesus was traveling, he sent 2 of his disciples into a village ahead of him, and he tells them that they're going to find this colt. They're going to find this young donkey that no one has ever ridden. And Jesus tells them to untie it and to bring it to him. And he tells them, if anyone tries to stop them, just let them know. Just tell them the Lord needs it. And so the disciples go, and it happens exactly as Jesus told them it would. They find this young donkey, and they untie it, and people come out, and they ask why they're untying it. And they say the Lord needs it, and then they're on their merry way. A few things are really strange about this. The first is that this is the first and only time that Jesus has requested an animal for him to ride on. Why is it so important that his disciples bring him this colt? Was he just fatigued from all of his traveling? No. Jesus was making a bold proclamation about who he was as he was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. In our scripture reading, our Old Testament reading that Pastor John read a little bit ago from the prophet Zechariah, it said, "Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." By fulfilling this Old Testament prophecy, Jesus is declaring that he is our king. the promised Messiah of God. And Jesus is also demonstrating that he's a very unusual king. This is not a triumphal entry as the Romans practiced it. There are no military trappings, no trophies of war, there are no captives, no white horse. None of the things associated with triumphal processions. Because Jesus does not come as a king of war, but a king of peace. And as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, the people, they begin to spread their cloaks on the road, which was a sign of great respect. These outer garments, they would have meant a lot to the poor. It wasn't as easy to get a replacement coat back then. You couldn't just go down to Walmart. And so the fact that they willingly toss these outer garments onto the ground so that this donkey that Jesus is riding can tread on it, this is pretty significant. It shows that this crowd recognizes that Jesus is their king. And as this crowd on their way comes near to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd began to praise God. And they began declaring, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This is the only time in the whole New Testament that this phrase, peace in heaven, is used. And if you remember back to the very beginning of Luke's gospel, when the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds to announce that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had been born, and you remember this heavenly host appears around them and begins to declare to them glory in God, to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. So here we've got peace on earth at the very beginning of Luke's gospel, and then in our text today we've got peace in heaven as Jesus approaches the cross. Earth and heaven are joined together in peace through both the incarnation of Jesus when he is born and now through the atonement of Jesus as he is on his way to the cross as our king. The prophet Isaiah said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." As sinners, we have all been separated from God. But our King of Peace has now come to bridge that separation that our sin caused, something only our Messiah, only our King could do. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There is no other way to the Father, no other way to salvation, no other way into his kingdom apart from him. Jesus is the only way, and his way is through the cross. The crowd of disciples singing Jesus' praises, they don't realize that yet. They had a misguided perception about what their Messiah had come to do. They recognize that Jesus is their Messiah, but Luke tells us that this crowd begins to sing these praises because they have seen Jesus perform miracles. It's so easy to praise God when that glory is evident, right? In the glorious things, the glamorous things, the miracles. It's easy to turn and trust to God in those times. But in Jesus' greatest miracle, the atonement of our sin, of the sin of the world, Jesus hides his glory under humility. The professor and theologian Bruce Shelley, he points out that Christianity is the only major religion to have at its central event the humiliation of its God. At the very center of Christianity is the cross. That's not glamorous. That doesn't look like what we think of glory looking like. Jesus hides his most glorious miracle in humility. Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." How unusual is our King Jesus? He has demonstrated his power by working these many miracles, yet he doesn't use this power to establish an earthly kingdom. He doesn't even use it to prevent his own suffering. He rode into Jerusalem humbly, sitting on a lowly beast of burden, and he did not receive a crown of gold, but instead a crown of thorns was placed on his head. His suffering and death, it opened the way of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, because he went to the cross bearing the sins of the world. In his resurrection, God the Father has vindicated us. He has removed our sin from us, because he kills to make alive. He wounds in order to heal. And he did all of this so that today you might hear this word proclaimed to you, and you might believe and take hold of it and confess that Jesus Christ is your King. That here in 2022, we are not removed from these events. That Jesus Christ wasn't only relevant for people back then, but for us today, he is still our King. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter Holy Week, we ask that you would turn our hearts again to Jerusalem and again to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stir up within us the gift of faith that we might not only praise him with our lips, but also in our hearts. It is in the name of our King Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
I invite you to rise as you're able for our closing chorus.
Go now in peace. Never be afraid. God will go with you each hour of every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do.
Final announcements before we close the service. Please note we also have Good Friday worship here this coming Friday at 6 p.m. and it'll be a Holy Communion service. You're welcome and encouraged to come to that as well. And again, following the service, you may proceed directly downstairs after we sing the table prayer and enjoy some pancakes, and following that, the Easter egg hunt. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.